The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
How dare you, little jabroni, come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People's Show. Come on to the Premier Show, SmackDown, and run your mouth about how you're the WWE Champion and run your mouth about how you're the game. Well, The Rock says, if you are the game, then quite frankly, you need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks! The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says.
Hello, and welcome to SmackDown Matters. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined once again this week by Miss J to the Max. How are you, Jade?
I'm fantastic. Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for joining me once again this week as we take a look at the People Show, SmackDown.
The land of opportunity.
Yep. We're going to share our commentary with color on all the happenings of the blue brand. But before we get into it, just to let you know, SmackDown Matters is brought to you by The WrestleCast. You can find The WrestleCast on the web at cspn.us. You can also find The WrestleCast through iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, all those normal avenues. All you have to do is just search for The WrestleCast dash the CSPN. Just click for the WrestleCast logo that has the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign, and you'll be listening to SmackDown Matters each and every week. So, Ms. Jade, the show starts with a recap, the crazy and wild happenings caused by Retribution. Michael Cole claims that this group is hiding behind current events. So take that for what you want. We see security in the building blocking the door, keeping the ruffians out. John Morrison cuts a promo that says this singles run by Big E isn't by choice and that New Day is just injury prone and Big E always looks hungry.
How dare he talk about the New Day like that? The nerve.
Before Big E and John Morrison can start the match, the lights flicker and here come Retribution. Coles and Graves, they run off again. Big E and Morrison try to attack, but there's just too many of them. Got like 8 people in the ring, 2 take out Morrison, 1 spears Big E. The group of people leave through the crowd, and out comes Miz to check on Morrison.
Okay, so this Retribution storyline. I know right now, from what I've read, WWE doesn't really have any direction for it, and the people that are in the group right now are just like stand-ins, so they don't even know where this is going, who's actually going to be in the group. But it's just, it's kind of stale now. So it's definitely not Nexus circa 2000 and whatever year that was.
Oh yeah, it's definitely not Nexus. None of these people look impressive.
Not a one. Well, from what like I was saying, they don't even know who's going to be in Retribution officially. These are just, hey, let's just get like 10 people and put a mask on them and go out there and wreak havoc. So I think right now WWE is just kind of like flailing in the water because COVID has kind of put a stop to things. But okay, we'll see. Maybe Vince will surprise us, but, you know, it is Vince. So
after the break, Miz explains that he was on the phone with Maurice. He says none of this would have happened if Big E didn't send out that tweet. So apparently there is a tweet by Big E talking about Retribution and, you know, he wasn't going to be scared of them and they can bring it if they want to, you know, disrespect his house.
Oh, because the Lord will protect
it. Because you remember last week they cut down the ropes and everything like that.
Right.
Being real disrespectful.
The nerve.
So in comes Baron Corbin, who says they need direction and leadership. And if we follow him, Big E tells him to shut his mouth. He says that this is their house. And he says the Foot Clan ain't going to run up in his house and put their dirty feet on their couch. He's going back out and he's going to beat John Morrison and show those hooligans that now is not the time to run and hide. It's the time to run and fight.
Baron Corbin. He wants to be locker room leader so bad. Like, bro, you don't even have a title.
He's King of the Ring. That is his title.
Oh, Lord. He's going to run this into the ground like Booker T did. Him and Queen Charmel.
So back like a month ago during our birthday, I was with my mom, and it just so happened that it was on a Friday. So we watched SmackDown together. And she's like, oh, man, Baron Corbin just kills me as King of the Ring. But she was like, but I didn't like Booker T when he was King of the Ring either. So, oh, well.
Your mom. It's funny.
So
see, at least she knows, like, the characters. So, like, my mom, she'll watch with me sometimes. And she doesn't know all the characters. So she's like, okay, now who is this? And what happened with this? And I'm like, just watching. It's like a soap opera. It doesn't take much to like pick up the storylines.
Right.
Just keep watching.
Right. So in comes Sheamus to applaud the speech. He's got goosebumps, but you can't see them because of his sick jacket. He says Big E's giving a desperate cry for help. Big E is vulnerable and scared, and those fools smell the fear. Sheamus clowns Chad Gable real quick, then says that they wouldn't dare interrupt Sheamus's match, and they should be very afraid of him. Big E tells Sheamus that he isn't alone.
You are not alone.
I love how, because of his upbringing, Big E knows how to do that voice inflection of that Southern preacher, so he can.
I could tell he grew up in a Baptist church or maybe a Kojic church.
Because he can bring it down and then bring it back up.
So, yes.
Yes, like I grew up with this. No, exactly.
Like past the collection plate.
Bailey brings up Retribution and says they want to hear what Bailey has to say. These guys should just follow suit, and they're going to get with the triple brand battle royal. Sasha just laughs things off, then says people know better than to interrupt them. She brings up facing Asuka at SummerSlam, and they will have to defend their tag team titles at Payback. Now listen to this. SummerSlam is next week.
Right.
Hashtag SummerSlams to use your voice and share your commentary with color. But Payback is the next week after that.
What? Somebody need to give Vince some direction.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Why?
What's the reasoning
behind having two back-to-back pay-per-views?
Don't ask me.
Is Payback going to be on a Sunday, or is it going to be like, okay, Raw and SmackDown are Payback like they did with Great American Bash?
No, it's going to be its own pay-per-view.
Huh.
So
why don't they just combine SummerSlam and Payback and just have one pay-per-view? I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. They're squeezing a lot into a little bit of time.
I mean, are they going off the air soon? Like, what's going on? That's odd. Well,
they're going to have SummerSlam at the Amway Arena, though.
Oh, it's not at the Performance Center?
No, it's going to be at the Orlando Magic facility.
Who's going to be in the stands? Are they going to do like the NBA does with the fan cutouts?
They're going to try to do like the virtual fans where there's just a wall of. I heard a couple of things. They may try to do it where it's like the NBA has it in the bubble where it's just a wall of virtual fans.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may try to like splice in like some Attitude Era type crowd stuff.
I mean, COVID's forcing these sports companies to get creative. But I mean, I guess we'll see. Are they going to do that for Payback too, or is it just SummerSlam?
I think all the big talk has just been for SummerSlam.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see what happens.
Sasha says that tonight is all about Bailey, though. After last week, when Steph tried to rain on their parade like she always does, but not even a McMahon can hold them down.
Babyface Stephanie? What? She flip-flops so much anyway. But I love Stephanie, so she can do what she want to do.
Bailey and Sasha says that they're going to add ring announcing to their many, many skills. So
they have quite the resume.
they start announcing, Bailey starts announcing like the Iconics. She's like, yeah, they're just like us, best friends, except for we're much better.
Listen, heel Bailey is, listen, I hope she keeps this momentum going. I love heel Bailey because babyface Bailey was so boring.
She announces Tegan Knox and Shotzi Blackheart. She's like, oh, yeah, we already went down to NXT and showed these two what was up, that we've been in that place and we still run it. And then she's getting ready to announce the next person, but all of a sudden Asuka's music hits and she's like, oh, somebody gave us the wrong cards. So Asuka comes down and Asuka's in the match. So that gives us all the rest of the women pouring into the ring, and then we go to a commercial break. So after the break, it's the Tribe Brand Battle Royal for the number one contendership for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Let me see if I can remember who's in there. You had Tamina, you had Binky, you had Naomi, you had Dana Brooke, you had Lacey Evans, you had Nikki Cross,
wasn't Liv Morgan?
Liv Morgan, yeah, Liv Morgan, Ruby Riott. They were both in there. The Iconics. And I think that was it. Shayna Baszler.
No, Daddy DeVille.
No, Shayna Baszler was in there. Asuka. So that was your lineup. They had a cool face off between Bianca and Tamina, which ended with Binky giving Tamina a spear. Unfortunately, Lacey Evans eliminated Naomi.
They don't be doing Abu right.
I know, right? Shayna and Asuka were the final two. Bailey grabs Asuka while she's on the apron, so Asuka kicks her away. We get a sliding knee to Bailey and Sasha Banks from Asuka, and Shayna kicks Asuka off the apron, but Asuka lands on top of Sasha Banks and Bailey. So she's not eliminated. It's like she was surfing. So Asuka pops up on the apron. Shayna and Asuka, they fight back and forth. Shayna tries for the Carefu to clutch. Asuka locks, grabs onto her head from behind and pulls Shayna over her shoulder and down to the ground, and Asuka wins the Tri-Brand Battle Royal. And so she's going to have two matches.
Asuka two belts.
At SummerSlam. She's going to face Sasha and she's going to face Bayley.
Yeah. Go ahead and put the dose straps on Asuka. Or how you say it in Japanese?
I think it's Nye.
Yeah, that.
Mandy Rose is backstage to talk about how people perceive her. She tells Sonya that she's not the first person to say Mandy is just another pretty face, that she's a Barbie doll, so fake, she can't wrestle, just a model. That hurts her to this day. She is a Bikini World champ, but does having three jobs while putting herself through college while winning that championship mean anything? She says she worked her ass off to get here, and this was a handed to her. Turns out Sonya has done nothing but remind Mandy that she is so much more than just a pretty face. Mandy wants Sonya at SummerSlam in a hair versus hair match. She can't wait to prove her wrong, and she says it will get ugly.
Dang. I hope Daddy DeVille don't lose this one.
This was a very good promo by Mandy Rose.
Mandy coming into her own now. Because, I mean, She's starting to grow on me very slowly, though. Very slowly, like a fungus almost.
The short hair cut?
The short hair cut is really cute.
Yes, yes.
It looks good on her. But Daddy DeVille, the future SmackDown or Raw Women's Champion, shout out to Maurice, is she got my heart. So I'm be rooting for her.
Yeah, you've been down with Sonya Deville for a long time.
Since day one, man. Day one-ish.
More security is backstage. Sheamus walks up and tells him to call it a day and clock out. Sheamus says he'll take over from here. Backstage, Nikki Cross is all stressed out. Alexa is standing nearby. Nikki apologizes for what happened last week, leaving her there just for the Fiend to, you know, have his way with.
Put his hand in her mouth. I'm just saying, COVID just out here running rampant, and y'all just putting nasty gloves in people's mouths. And I never understood, this is kind of random, well, not really. I never understood the mandible claw. Like, exactly how is that a finishing move? Does it just suffocate the person? Like,
well,
because they put their hand in their mouth. Just,
if you hit the mandible nerve in your mouth, it's kind of like a paralyzing thing.
Ah, okay.
And so that's what they're supposed to be.
I was today years old when I learned that. Thanks, Don. Now you're educating the kids. You like LeVar Burton.
The more you know. Alexa says that she's fine after last week. She's fine. She doesn't want Nikki to worry about her. Nikki tells her to stop. The Fiend is here, and Alexa needs to be somewhere safe. Alexa says she just needs some answers from Braun Strowman. Mm. You know, last week.
Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn about you. Like, whoo, that hurt. She showed up to his crib like.
We have Sheamus versus Chad Gable. Sheamus kicks Gable into the ropes. Gable rolls into a jackknife pin for a two count. We get the white noise from Sheamus, followed by the bro kick, and he gets the pin and the win over Chad Gable.
Sheamus out here putting in work. But he got a lot of TV time on Friday.
Yeah, they've been using Sheamus pretty well. I mean, he took that L to Jeff Hardy, but he, you know, set that up by causing that accident that took out Elias and kept Jeff Hardy out of the United States title match. So there's a lot of...
I do miss Elias.
Yeah, definitely been a hole in the show since Elias has been gone.
Is he on his, like, COVID break?
No, he was actually hurt.
Oh, okay.
So he needed to have some time.
How he hurt? And all it was his guitar hands, because you don't even be wrestling like that. Like, did he
was pull wrestling a little bit more since the outbreak happened, and so yeah, there were some injuries he had to get taken care of.
Oh, that's too bad. I mean, we got some prime material that needs songs written.
Backstage, AJ Styles is berating Joseph Park, who has a striking resemblance to Jim Ross, actually. You may know Joseph Park better as Abyss from TNA.
Mm-hmm. So now he's with WWE?
Yeah, he's been backstage with WWE for a while, just as
there.
You know, writing staff and their agents or whatever. So we come back to the ring. AJ comes out with Joseph Park. Joseph Park's all suited up. AJ has the mic. He says, there's a lot going on and no one cares about these hooligans. We've got more pressing matters. Who will face him for the Intercontinental title? Who wants to know? Well, it doesn't matter because of Daniel Bryan saying the IC champ has to be a fighting champion. AJ wonders, hasn't he been that? He just wants to enjoy being the Intercontinental Champion. He just wants to sit at home, get on Twitch, and enjoy the moment. So many people, just like us, are acting like a bunch of nerds throwing out statistics. Like, he needs to hear that. What do we know about statistics? Then it dawned on him. When he watches baseball and football, he's looking at statistics. Then he realized that he is a handsome stud of a nerd himself. He cares about stats, too. But if we are going to go by stats, then he has hired a team, the Phenomenal Intercontinental Statistics System.
Piss.
Yes. So no, he won't be handing out anything. This will be earned on merit alone. So here we go. Let's see who was number one. Drum roll, AJ removes the black sheet from the whiteboard that exposes just the top, reading Intercontinental Champion AJ Styles. Then he exposes the rest of the board, and it shows nobody. The board is blank. AJ says no one has earned the right to be in the ring with AJ Styles. No one has earned it. Jeff Hardy has had enough. His music hits. He cuts off AJ. Jeff says the tournament that AJ won, Jeff never got a fair chance at. Sheamus set him up. He doesn't want to dwell on the past, but it could have been Jeff versus AJ in the finals. He says, moving on, the Intercontinental title is very special to him. Jeff says he knows his worth, what he's accomplished, and as a member of the WWE Universe, Jeff versus AJ just sounds mega cool. I didn't know Jeff Hardy morphed into a black woman. Knowing his worth. Accomplished.
Okay. Pay me what I'm worth.
AJ respects Jeff. He's known him for a long time. There are a lot of people that would love to see Jeff versus AJ Styles in the ring. Jeff was a part of the best tag team in the business. He deserves to be on the board. So if Jeff is asking if AJ wants to face Jeff in this ring for the Intercontinental title, AJ Styles says, hell no. I wonder how Miss DeJonay felt about that, because forever she's been talking about, why does everybody just accept challenges? Why doesn't somebody just be like, nah, I'm not facing you? And the one person who happens to do it is AJ Styles. It's
the face that runs the place in the house that DeJonay built.
AJ says, what do you think this is? Jeff hasn't earned it. AJ says he knows what he's been through, but this ain't no pity party. So Jeff attacks AJ. He shoves Joseph apart, then hits AJ with a twist of fate. Then Jeff brought his own marker and gives the board an autograph.
So does that mean we get in a match?
We'll see.
Guess we'll have to wait till the commercial break is over to find out.
Right. Backstage, Cesaro asks Shinsuke Nakamura how to say little in Japanese, while Lince Dorado and Grand Metal League steal the tag team titles from behind them.
The Lucha House, they getting look, the roster is real thin because them boys getting a whole lot of TV time.
The
matches with tag team champs.
The baby faces on SmackDown sure are doing a lot of dastardly stuff. Jeff Hardy just attacked AJ Styles out of nowhere. Now we got a Lucha House Party stealing title belts.
It's COVID. It's no rules, man. Anything goes. It's a revolution.
Shinsuke Nakamura versus Grand Metal. Oh, no, excuse me. Before that, we return from the commercial break, and AJ is walking around with the board, and he says that Jeff Hardy will be erased. And when he goes to wipe Jeff Hardy's name off his whiteboard, we all realize that Jeff used a permanent marker.
Oh, Lord. Just a little Windex will get that right off.
That was actually really funny.
That is funny. So he can walk around with his whiteboard. Is it going to be like the Chris Jericho's clipboard?
Maybe.
Of the list?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Everybody coming up putting their own name on the whiteboard every week to challenge.
Put my name on it.
So now we have Nakamura versus Grand Metal League.
And Nakamura delivering a knee right to the throat. Here's the cover now on Metal League. Shoulders are down and a kick out. Fan interactivity allegedly will be taken to a whole nother level next week right here on Fox. And Metal League taking his game to a whole nother level against Nakamura. What a performance by Metal League a couple of weeks ago, and a championship match for the Intercontinental title against AJ Styles. Nakamura, though, stops Metal League in his tracks. Cover now, hook of the leg, and a kick out by Metal League. And Metal League now cross body to Nakamura. Ooh, the point I was making is we have said all along that they need to pick up wins. They came so close on so many occasions, Corey, and finally got the job done against New Day. Hey, you doubted them for a bit too, so don't just be calling me out.
Never once in my life have I doubted Nakamura nor Cesaro.
King of the ropes, springboard, back elbow, cover, Nakamura kick out.
Very, very impressive maneuver by Grand Metal League.
Metal League lands on his feet.
Shinsuke was looking for the exploder.
And a kick to the midsection. Metal League now And Cesaro providing the distraction on the apron. And because of that, Nakamura able to take control with a kick now for the win. Shoulders down, lackadaisical cover and a kick out by Metalik at two.
Metalik barely able to escape the kick from Nakamura, catching him right in the breadbasket. Shinsuke once again looking for the inverted exploder. There it is.
Get those good vibrations.
And now Nakamura.
There we go.
Setting up to put Metalik away.
This is a bit.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wow.
It is. Kalisto is here. The third member of the Lucha House Party who has been out of action for months with a separated shoulder. But Kalisto is apparently back and Cesaro can't believe it.
Look at the physique of Kalisto. Obviously in tremendous physical condition. And hasn't missed a step.
And look at the double team by the Lucha House Party planting Cesaro on the ramp.
Nakamura obviously concerned about his tag team partner. Metalik connects all the way up top now.
And Metalik off the top rope delivers the elbow to Nakamura. Stacks him up, shoulders are down. Grand Metalik has pinned Shinsuke Nakamura.
Here is your winner, Grand Metalik.
All right, am I tripping or did Kalisto? I thought he left WWE.
I thought he was just hurt.
Okay. I don't know why I thought he got caught up in the flurry of.
I think you're thinking about Sin Cara. Sin Cara just.
There you go. Out. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he might have got fired, but yeah. But still, I think you're thinking about
Sin Cara. My luchadors mixed up.
Right, right. Kayla Braxton. Looking as only she can.
Kayla
is backstage to interview Matt Riddle. Kayla says she asked Riddle, how he stayed so positive despite there being a king's ransom on his head. Riddle asks if he can call Kayla bro. She says yes. He says he's laid back and cool because he came here to bro down and throw down. He wants to compete, but Corbin, that dude that calls himself a king, is a royal pain. He's called him out, tried to fight him, even caused him to lose his match last week. He doesn't know what else he's supposed to do. So in comes Chad Gable, who says that he has to explain himself. He says he has a family and money goes a long way, but it doesn't justify what he did, intentionally trying to injure Matt Riddle last week. He's sick and he's embarrassed and he's here to apologize. So Riddle gives him a fist bump. He says, it's all good, bro. If Gable ever wants to go, just give Riddle a heads up. The bro was down for a fight. That's when Corbin attacks Riddle from behind. He says, this is his kingdom. Then he thanks Chad Gable for the help.
Oh, Lord. His kingdom. He needs to do a better job of protecting his kingdom from retribution. He's not doing a very good job.
Alexa Bliss has a sit-down interview next. She says she's been better. She says that she has been better in recent weeks. She's asked about her history with Braun. She says she got to know the man behind the monster. We get some clips of the Team Little Big thing they had going on in the Mixed Match Challenge. She says Braun is a good man. He's funny, witty, he's protective, compassionate, and they got along so well because they could call each other out.
She's giving him too much credit.
She says
witty. Have you heard his promos?
She says they can be fun and they just became the best of friends. She's asked if they would ever become more than just friends. She says romantically. She says maybe. Braun cared about her and she cared about him. Is this why the Fiend targeted Alexa? She says she doesn't know. That's a question for the Fiend. Then she's asked what it's like being in the Fiend's presence. She says scary, terrifying, and compelling. And once you've interacted with him, you can feel his presence. And now she fully understands what they say when they say moth to a flame. The interviewer asks, or tells her, that Braun made some very strong comments last week. How did they make her feel? Alexa chokes up a bit, turns her face, and then we go to a commercial break.
Oh, poor Alexa.
Sonya Deville is backstage. She says she's thought about it, and she thinks Mandy's going to look great bald. She wants to remind Mandy that maybe why everyone said the things that they said is because it's true. She says she will destroy Mandy once and for all, and she accepts the challenge at SummerSlam.
Oh, Yeah, no, Mindy ain't going to look good. But I think Daddy DeVille taking the L on this one.
Bruce Pritchard is in full control.
I guess we'll find out.
Of SmackDown and Monday Night Raw. You want to know why I know? And how why? I know?
How?
And why he may have even more control than we think? Because that is his deal. A hair versus hair match.
Oh.
He wanted, I forgot what he said he wanted on something to wrestle with. It was Eddie Guerrero and JBL or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
When they had, I think it was WrestleMania in Houston. And one of those matches, he said he wanted it to be hair versus hair, but Vince just didn't understand the thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's how you know that Bruce Pritchard has a lot of stroke right now.
They should have let Paul Heyman keep running at least one of the shows. Just saying.
Yeah. Well,
especially you can't be firing Paul Heyman in the middle of a pandemic. You got to let him write and direct, produce.
Paul Heyman was trying to, I think he was trying to put too many brown faces on TV.
Mm.
And I think
Vince had to nip that real quick.
Well, it wasn't that. It was AJ and the Good Brothers. Apparently, they were the ones who were kind of like upset, and that's kind of what led to Paul getting fired.
You mean to tell me they all lives matter?
You know AJ Styles is.
Well, of course, he's from Georgia. Not surprised. I take back all my accolades that I gave him for being the best wrestler in the world.
Unfortunately, it's one of these paradoxes where two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things.
He's a phenomenal wrestler, but it just disappoints me that they got upset because the melanated folks were being given opportunities, finally.
Yeah, they were upset about just how they were being used on Raw and how the Good Brothers, basically Paul, was just kind of like, hey, you know, they not doing a lot and y'all just re-signed them to all this money. And yeah, so that just led to a whole big thing. But hopefully Paul is, you know, still getting them set. That severance pay was nice and big.
Man.
I mean, he's still, you know, he's just not writing the shows anymore. I mean, he's still employed. So whenever Brock decides that he's ready to come back, we'll see him.
Dang, I was really looking forward to, in the long run, Paul Heyman continuing. Was it Raw that he had?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, because Raw is struggling in some areas.
I mean, he was trying to build up Ricochet and Cedric Alexander. He mm-hmm. got the Street Profits up and running, put the belts on them. He was trying to get the women's thing kicking in a greater gear. So he was trying to do some things, but he was doing it with a bunch of young people who trying to make new stars and not going with the proven people.
Right. People that were like, okay, we get it. Proving yourself, let's let some other people have a chance.
Right. It's time for Big E versus John Morrison. We go backstage. Retribution, they're tearing up the backstage. They're hitting refs with finishing moves and laying them out on tables. I think they even attacked Kayla Braxton. I saw her over there. Like what's going on?
No, they better not.
You can beat up the refs. Don't be putting your hands on Kayla. She's not a wrestler, for God's sake.
Like all of them.
Big E hits a uranage, and he gets a pin for a two count. Big E grabs the leg. He gets the stretch muffler, and John Morrison taps out. So Big E is 2-0 in this current singles run, beating The Miz and John Morrison. Big E is celebrating his win on the outside. That's when Sheamus comes down the ramp and hits a bro kick to Big E, laying him out.
Sheamus getting all the TV time. Man, so we get, I guess it's the setup for Big E and versus Sheamus at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah. I wonder how Sheamus feels about his old tag team partner.
Cesaro?
Mm-hmm. Since he left him.
I don't know.
And now he's tag team champions with Shinsuke.
Unfortunately, they only see Cesaro as a tag team specialist when they need to be seeing him as the Universal Champion.
I'm saying, I've been saying that for a long time, but they don't, Vince don't, doesn't see it that way.
Nah, he doesn't, but I mean, it would be a fun exercise to put the belt on the man and let him have some great matches, dress him right, up in a suit, let him cut some good promos.
Yeah, suit Cesaro was a whole mood.
I mean, they've went with, you know, Drew McIntyre. I mean, they repositioned him as a babyface to get there, but to have a heel Cesaro as your Universal Champion, that would be awesome.
Yeah, with the whole 007, they can bring that back, his whole James Bond kind of character.
Tearaway suit, you like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yup, Creepcast.
Braun Strowman is here. He stares directly into the camera. He says that they say you'll never see it coming at SummerSlam. He told The Fiend that when he left the Swamp that he'd be the most evil son of a bitch that anybody has laid eyes on. And he's going to rip The Fiend limb from limb, and he will eviscerate him and will consume his entrails. Alexa Bliss music hits. Alexa enters the ring, and Braun refuses to look at her. Alexa wants to have a conversation. Alexa says this is not the Braun she knows. When he said he didn't care, Bliss didn't believe that. They've been friends.
I felt like I was watching a telenovela.
Braun says Alexa used him as a pawn. He said it last week. He doesn't give a damn about her. He's not some clown that can be led around by his beard, singing songs, and her stupid car. Braun is still refusing to look at her. Braun says Alexa used him as a pawn. He said, everyone that comes in contact with The Fiend changes, including Alexa. Now get out. Alexa says, okay, and warns Braun to be careful what he wishes for. Alexa says if she can't talk some sense into him, she'll have to slap some into him. She demands he looks at her. Braun turns, and Alexa slaps him. Alexa then goes in with the slaps and tells him to wake up. Braun grabs Alexa and presses her into the air. He looks to toss her over the ring and out of the ring. The Titantron goes out in a section. The lights go out. Braun calls out The Fiend as Braun looks to toss Alexa out of the ring. He's got her held high, and he just drops her in the air as the lights go out. The lights come back on, and The Fiend is in the ring. Alexa is holding her stomach, and Braun is gone. He's now on the Titantron, laughing maniacally, and The Fiend has some chuckles too, and that's how your SmackDown ended for this week.
Hmm. We don't know what to do with Alexa right now.
Poor Alexa. Just got ragdolled around.
I mean, she should have kept her hands to herself. Can't just be going around slapping 7 feet tall dudes.
When you only weigh like 100 and you give it like 125 maybe.
Soaking sure. Wet.
Yeah. Braun looked like he was holding her with no problem.
Yeah, probably not. That man probably bench presses like 500 pounds. Alexa is light work. You know, I was thinking the other day, remember when, I don't know, maybe it was last month, when this was out, actually I was thinking about it after Ric Flair got punted by Randy Orton, how he was saying, basically saying that, you know, with Charlotte gone, you know, the women's division would basically be in shambles. And I have to say, the women's division is really, I'm really loving it right now. It's a lot of fun, especially like across all the brands, like, and even though they don't do Naomi and Binky, right? But across all three, it's good to see other talent being highlighted. And everyone's holding their weight. And I love seeing Bayley and Sasha. Heel Bayley and heel Sasha. I'll take them over Charlotte. Not to knock Charlotte's talent, but it was overkill. I'm glad that she decided to take some time off so we could see some other talent. But the show, the women's division seems to be doing just fine without her.
Yeah, it does. They've figured out a way to highlight Sasha and Bayley to make them the real standouts of this. They've been very entertaining. They've now got Binky into the mix a little bit, which is great. So we're definitely heading towards some new talent being highlighted in the women's division, which is always going to help that, especially with some, you know, up and comers from NXT hopefully getting into the mix. Liv Morgan, Ruby Riott, we've seen a lot more of them, the Iconics. Unfortunately, this has kind of been the downfall of AEW in the past couple of weeks, is that they have turned away from highlighting their women on Dynamite the past couple of weeks. They were actually doing a really good job of that leading up into this women's tag team tournament that is currently taking place on YouTube and not on TNT on AEW Dynamite each and every week. So that's just another misstep that they have made in the past 2 or 3 weeks. You can definitely hear more about that if you tune into The Dark Match over on our Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. Become a patron, subscribe, and you'll be able to hear Miss Simi's thoughts on that. She actually goes in on just AEW as a whole and what they promised and actually what we've gotten when it comes to you know, their mission statement and how they've executed it. So,
Because everybody was super hyped, like, you know, when AEW first launched, it's like an alternative to, well, not an alternative, but, you know, some another promotion to watch. Another we were all excited. We were all excited about it. And then, like, you know, they seemed like, you know, women's division, you know, they were going to really highlight their women, and for it to just have, and especially considering they had, I don't know what Brandi Rhodes' role is, but considering that she's, you know, in a leadership position, you would think that she'd be advocating more on behalf of the women. But we can pay $50 a month to see the ladies. Just saying.
They started out kind of rough because they put the belt on Sheeta instead of putting it on Nyla Rose. So that kind of set them back a little bit. Then they got the belt on Nyla Rose. So things started to pick up. I mean, excuse me, they put the belt on Riho to begin with. Then they put the belt on Nyla Rose. Then they did the smartest thing they ever did for the women's division, which was trade out Britt Baker and make her a heel. Once they did that, it allowed the two people who were really showing their wares, Sheeta and Chris Statlander, to kind of like have the babyface side to themselves. So Chris Statlander unfortunately got hurt, but Sheeta was the one who everybody was talking about, like, oh man, she needs to go for the title. So Sheeta got the title. Then from that point on, up until like 3 weeks ago, they had been doing an excellent job with their women. Britt Baker is very entertaining. They got a program with her and Big Swole. Even though Britt Baker's hurt, they've been steadily building that up, getting that hype. They've been featuring different women each and every week. They had at least two women's matches per episode of Dynamite for like 2 or 3 months straight, and the women's division was starting to really pick up steam. Then they announced the tag team tournament, and everybody was like, oh, even better. And then they said it was going to be on YouTube. And then after that, everything's been dropping for their women's division.
Wow.
So if you watched, if you watched NXT, if you watched SmackDown this week, they featured a lot of women in their segment.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's two things that could change the fortune of both of these companies. If they wanted to go all in and they wanted to separate themselves, it would be one, highlighting the women, and two, highlighting their black talent. Whichever one would ever commit to those two things together at the same time, the other one would pale in comparison.
Yeah.
I don't know I agree. Either one of those companies are committed to actually going in to do that all the way.
And especially considering, again, Brandi Rhodes is technically black.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
No. Guess we'll have to wait and see.
We will.
Join us after the commercial break to find out.
Any final thoughts you'd like to say about SmackDown before I let you do your shout outs and thank yous?
No, I'm looking forward to SummerSlam. It's SummerSlam then Payback.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how some of these storylines wrap up at SummerSlam and what new storylines they're going to come up with at Payback, I guess. Because, yeah.
It'd probably be all the matches you saw at SummerSlam just ran back.
That's exactly what it's going to be. So do I even need to watch SummerSlam? Probably not. Just watch Payback.
Right.
Scaled down version of SummerSlam.
Right.
So, no, but I'm looking forward to seeing how some of these storylines wrap up.
Yeah, I thought SmackDown was just okay. I thought the Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville promo exchange was really good. Shinsuke Nakamura, man, God, what did they do to him?
They ruined the artist.
He's definitely just collecting checks at this point.
Oh yeah. Do you blame him?
Big E and Morrison, that was good though. That was really good.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with Big E. You know, because Xavier's still out for a while, and Kofi's on his COVID leave, so. Yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, how they elevate Big E into a single star, potential future champion.
And I'm very curious about what role Alexa Bliss is going to play, because it seems like with that line where they ask her what it was like to be in the Fiend's presence, and she goes, "Now I know what they mean when they say moth to a flame," it sounds like she might be getting ready to head all the way over to the dark side.
I mean, I can dig it.
I mean, heel Alexa Bliss is the best Alexa Bliss, but I don't know about Alexa Bliss running with that Fiend.
Abigail Alexa Bliss. Sister Abigail.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but if that happens, we'll just have to wait and see how that turns out. But next week will be SummerSlam, so we'll be playing Who You Got on the Raw cast for sure. I may play Who You Got with you as well. I may actually see if you can join us on the Raw cast, and then that way we'll have three people to add it to the mix, and we'll see. That'll be a little bit more fun that way.
Yeah. So let's see what happens. So stay tuned.
Right. Tune in on Tuesday to see, or Wednesday morning to see if Miss J to the Max was a part of our Raw cast program. But until then, Miss J to the Max, shout outs and thank yous.
Just shout out to Don and for having me, and excuse me, and looking forward to our next episode, and looking forward to SummerSlam. Maybe I'll see you guys on Monday.
Give a big shout out to Miss J to the Max for joining me once again, Miss Didi Jonet for allowing us to take residence here in her Airbnb. We definitely appreciate it. Big shout out to Miss Simi, Mo to the _. You can check them out on NXT cast and the Raw cast respectively. Shout out to Anwar Starwin, Terry's Boy, and Queen Mill Mindy, and Madame Lizette, and What's Sleep Though, and Jupiter Julep. Of course, all the Wrestle Bays and all the members of the Glow. Thank you to everybody who found the SmackDown Matters live tweet this week. All the new faces that we had in there. We definitely appreciate you providing your commentary with color with us. So continue to do that each and every week. Like I said, check out the Patreon page. You can find out our thoughts on AEW Dynamite over there. Me and Miss Simi do that podcast together as well. Again, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Become a patron and you'll get the episodes each and every Sunday. There's brand new one out. Mo to the _ reshares his thoughts on a TNT title. We talk about who could use managers in WWE. So Lots of extra content over on the Patreon page, so please check that out. So for my co-host, Miss J to the Max, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been SmackDown Matters. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
You know what, Sonya? What you said last week about how some people perceive me? Part of that's true. But do you really think you're the first person that ever said Mandy Rose is just a pretty face? I've been hearing that my entire life. The blonde hair. She's just a Barbie doll. She's so fake. She can't wrestle. She's just a model that has everything handed to her. And to be honest, that hurts. That hurts still to this day, hearing those things. And you said last week, I am a Bikini World Champion. But let me ask you this. Does having three jobs while putting myself through college, while winning that title, does that sound like having everything handed to me? And getting to the WWE, that just fell into my lap, right? Sonya, you, out of all people, should know how hard I worked, how hard I work. But turns out, just a reminder to myself. So thank you, Sonya, thank you for reminding me that I am so much more than just a pretty face. You thought by cutting my hair, trying to make me look ugly, was gonna destroy me? Okay. How about this? You and me, SummerSlam, in a hair versus hair match. You wanna sit on your high horse and pretend that you don't give a damn about a selfie or the way you look? Oh, please, put your money where your mouth is, honey. I can't wait to prove you wrong. And trust me when I say this, it will get ugly.
I gotta say, Mandy, I'm a little surprised by your challenge. I mean, who knew all it would take is a little haircut to get some aggression out of you? So I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I think you're gonna look great bald. I'm sorry. Let me remind you. You may think you got over your little insecurities. You may say you're so sick of hearing people say the same thing about you your entire life over and over again. But did it ever occur to you? Did you ever think that maybe the reason why they say that is because it's true? Well, I'm gonna make sure that you know that it's true. Because I'm gonna destroy you once and for all. So challenge accepted. You versus me, hair versus hair at SummerSlam. See you soon, Baldy.